Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl from Deviant Legion and Incredibly Strange Films and Film and Stuff and all that sort of good stuff. And tonight, we are doing a back-to-school commentary watch on one of Rachel's favorite films. So, Rachel, I'm going to hand it over to you and introduce us to Holes, please.
Well, first thing I got to do is introduce you guys to a couple of special people in my life, that being my family. Say hi, family.
Hi, family.
Hi, family.
I didn't even tell them to do that. They just did that on their own. You can tell I'm with the right people, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, so Holes is one of my favorites. I've loved it. I only first saw it as an adult and have loved it ever since then. Apparently, it's like a YA film or something, but I consider it to be one of the very few films that Shia LaBeouf isn't annoying as fuck in. So it's got that going for it. It is based on a book of the same name, and from what I've been told, in a strange turn of events, I have never read the book Holes. I've only seen the movie. I think the movie is hands down absolutely fantastic. But I have taken from very serious sources who have read this book that the movie is pretty much word for word adapted straight out of the book. There's only one minor difference, and it's only a cosmetic difference because, thankfully, the director of this knew that he was working with children. And in the book, the main character, Stanley, has a weight issue. And by the end of it, he's lost a considerable amount of weight because of the torture and abuse they've been going through. The director, being the kind and awesome man that he was, did not want to put a child through having to do that for an acting role. So I've heard that literally the only difference between the book and the movie is that the main character starts out kind of fit. But that's it. So, Carl, you being the guy who have read the book before but never seen the movie, I am really,
actually,
really interested.
Actually, you're wrong about that. I've never read the book.
Oh.
I've never seen the movie.
I thought you said you had read the book.
No.
Well,
that was The Chocolate War, which we did the other
day. Well, I have a source here in the background. Rhiannon says they have read the book. So I know they've seen the movie, but it was probably more recently that they read the book than they've seen the movie. So, yeah. So it was within the past year. So we have a fresh brain on this one to give us perspective on how well adapted this movie is. Well, so far they're saying pretty great. So, all right. So I guess I also need to let everybody know you can find this one absolutely free on Disney Plus. And if you don't have Disney Plus, like poor Carl over here, you can rent it on Amazon. I think it's the normal, like $3.99?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I can afford
well,
that.
Well, I've got Disney, so we're watching it here on Disney. Carl's watching it on Amazon. Fortunately, I don't think this is a movie that has, like, a lot of extra cuts or, like, a director's cut version that's I don't think our versions are going to be any different. We're not going to run into the Day the Earth Caught Fire differences here. So with all of that being said, and everybody seems to be settled in here, I'm going to go ahead and let you count us in, Carl. I think we're going to do it our normal way. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
absolutely.
Go.
Exactly. That's what we'll do. So get ready. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And it's a Walt
All
Disney
right,
picture. Wow. And it's streaming on Walt Disney Plus. Wow. That's impressive.
Such a shocker here.
Yeah, seriously.
Oh, and I am going to have to say, like, as we start to get into the, I think there's some credits in the beginning because it is an older movie. notice the fantastic fucking cast that's in here.
Ooh, it's like being on a chain gang. Damn.
Hell yeah. Barf bag. What?
Damn. Damn.
All righty.
Damn. Okay, this is not exactly a happy movie so far.
My grandpa, Stanley Ilmatic II, said it's all because of
interesting. Yelnats. Okay, what is that spelled backwards? Stanley.
Oh.
Stanley Ilmatic III is an inventor, and for the last few years, he's been trying to find a cure. Put it.
Yeah, you might need to turn it down just a little, Carl.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay, turn it down a little more.
Okay. No, we're good. I'm sorry.
No,
what
that's
is going on here?
I like your look.
Can I just smell your shoe? This warrant isn't warranted. This will never hold up in court. So this is all really important for history and background here.
Oh, the woodpecker song. Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the woodpecker song I know. Woodpecker song I know is
yeah.
Dirty.
I was about to say, I don't think Disney could play the woodpecker song you know, Carl.
This is true.
And by the way, did you notice his name is Stanley Yelnats?
I've already said that. Yelnats is back for Stanley.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so good.
One of the judges in Arkansas recently got in trouble for doing this kind of stuff with juvenile offenders. He was basically taking bribe money to put people in work camps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's funny because it's true. Like people, you know, this whole movie seems like an incredibly outrageous story. But it's actually, this does happen. Now, I don't know about the digging holes thing, but we probably should have had a trigger warning for those people with, what is it, like tachyphobia or whatever?
Something like that, yeah.
Ah, that's it. Tryptophobia. See, that's why Reed's here. They're so smart.
What?
And that is...
You're scared of tripping? Is that what it is?
What was that?
Tryptophobia.
Tryptophobia. That's what Reed said.
Yeah. You're scared of tripping. So you shouldn't get any LSD or fall on your fat tuchus.
Unfortunately, no, but I get where you're going with that one. So you see, he's been sent to a work camp in the middle of the fucking desert that it's surrounded by holes. Yeah, well, he's actually not even guilty of the crime he's being punished for, but there we go. It's my man.
John Voight.
Yeah, from John Voight. I love him. I love him in this. He's such a dick. God, he's such a dick. But he's just so perfect at it. Because it comes to a point where you realize he's not just an asshole. He's kind of a simpering dick. Because he's got it hard for the hot lady that actually runs the labor camp. And I won't tell you who that is.
I already know. I know. I did check the IMDb. And I've read up on the film and the book. Is it me, or does he look like a really bad Elvis impersonator?
I think he's supposed to. Like, I can imagine how the book was written, and I just imagine the author stating that he looked like he almost wanted to be an Elvis impersonator. Damn. And by the way, I just have to say, as far as my commenting on the costuming in this movie, yes, there's not going to be a lot of it, but I will tell you that hat right there means you're a fucking joke of a cowpoke, okay? You're not any kind of real cowboy wearing a fucking hat like that. Hell, Shia LaBeouf in his neon day-glow pink hat's more of a cowboy than this guy is. And yes, one of my favorite completely unrecognized actors, like, I swear to God, this man needs so much more fame than he has. Dulé Hill, also known as Gus from Psych.
Oh, okay.
He's he's the second half of the Psych duo, and he's also the black farmer in this movie, in the backstory.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
saw
like
him when they were driving down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's fucking fantastic. And, I mean, look at how young Shia LaBeouf is in this movie. He's almost unrecognizable.
But the only other movie I've seen him – well, I saw him in the Indy Jones one, but wasn't he No, that's Jesse Eisenberg. Is who I'm thinking of. Who's sort of like in the same wheelhouse.
Yeah, they're kind of the same to me. No, he was in the Transformers movie.
Right, that's right.
That's where he shot to fame with the Transformers stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we've got the hippy dippy, you know, counselor guy basically. The only fucking one dressed rationally in this movie, by the way. And you can tell he's not a bad guy. He, like, really wants to help rehabilitate these kids. Do not upset the warden. Oh, he's not the warden. He's just been in a bad mood since he quit smoking.
Since he quit smoking. I can understand that.
Yeah. And he's mom.
Yeah. Now, that's Tim Blake Nelson, by the way. I love him.
I mean, I've seen him in so many roles like this where he, like, he's typecast because of how good he is at just being like the really friendly, genuinely concerned good guy.
You know,
but he's also kind of.
Yeah, he was in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? He actually wrote the script to that. He's also the
That guy wrote the script to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Tim Blake Nelson. Also, he's the perv guy in Fido, who has sexual relations with the female zombie.
Yes, I know, because Fido is one of my favorite movies of all time, like hands down. That's in my top 10. Like, you know, any genre list, you've got top 10. You can pick from any genre. Fido's in there. Love that movie.
Agreed.
We should definitely do that one in October, because I don't think we've done Fido yet.
I love Fido. Freaking love Fido.
Oh, I do too. And he's the best as the neighbor. He is the best as the neighbor. Because he's the one that, he's got the really hot zombie.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God, that was so great.
Tim Blake Nelson also wrote and directed which is a variation on Shakespeare's Othello. He's very talented.
Yeah, sorry, I just put it back on speaker for everybody. I forgot I had guests today. But Rhiannon was wondering...
How can you forget you have guests? Really?
Because they're sitting quietly in their respective corners and making background comments. Ree's wondering what Counselor Guy would be like as a villain.
Oh, he's been a villain before. And he's a villain. Well, he's not the villain. He's the second to the villain. He's like the sub-villain.
Yeah, but that's the thing is he's always a sub-guy. Like, he's a sub-villain or he's a sub-good guy, you know? I think he's one of those people that deserves more roles, too.
Oh, trust me, he's busy. He's primarily a stage guy.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
But I love Tim Blake Nelson. I just think he's great. I'm looking him up for you.
Okay, so if you're getting this, he's this dude's biggest fan, and he accidentally, in a weird twist of fate, ends up with this priceless pair of shoes by this fucking guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that the baseball player guy was donating those shoes to a charity auction for homeless children.
Wow.
And our boy Sam is here, the shoes literally fall out of the sky into his hands, and he's like, oh, my God. And he, runs home with them. I mean, that's like a gift from the fucking heavens.
Exactly.
And he's been wrongfully accused of this crime because he didn't steal the fucking shoes.
By the way, if you like Tim Blake Nelson, you want to go check out Old Henry, which is a Western he did in 2021. And by the way, he has 9 movies either completed or in post-production or shooting right now.
Right.
Seriously.
Oh, what is her name? I fucking love this woman. She is super hot.
Who is that? Who is that?
Jeremy's looking for me.
Patricia Arquette.
Yes, that's it. Thank you. Patricia Arquette. I forget that he's got a sister that's awesome. You know what? Next time Keenan's on the show, we'll have to ask him if he knows Patricia, too.
I'm sure he does. I would think so. Maybe not as well as David, but yeah, I'm sure he's met.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't understand the holes, and of course we'll find that out.
Yeah, I don't understand them either.
Oh yeah, you'll find out. It's really important that you guys pay attention to that backstory. You saw we had
She only kissed the men she killed.
Yeah, she only kissed the men she killed. She brought, or you know, she would rob them in the desert and just leave them out there to die. But that's all you know so far. It really does start explaining stuff.
Oh, great song. Which is also a throwback to Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? In fact, I've done choral versions of this song with my church choir.
So now you see what they've got these kids doing all day. They're digging holes in the middle of the fucking desert.
Oh, she's cute too.
You know, a lot of people are all about that Mulan line, you know, a curse on you, a curse on your family, a curse on your family's cow. I personally am more inclined to go with your dirty, rotten, pig-stealing great-great-grandfather.
Oh, my God. I love her. I love her. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. I told you. This movie has a fucking fantastic cast, and a lot of times you won't recognize the names of people, but then you see them, and you're like, oh, that guy. And, oh, that's
Well,
super
you know,
hot
you
girl.
Know who
like,
that is. Don't you, the black woman? Oh, man, hold on.
That's Eartha Kitt right there.
Yeah. Yeah, Eartha Kitt.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
who
sorry.
It is.
Yeah, no, I thought you meant the gypsy chick, not the sage woman over here.
I'm talking the old.
Yeah, that's Eartha Kitt. Come on now. And she's great in this movie.
I love her. And of course, she has a great role in a Disney movie, The Emperor's New Clothes. Love her. Great musician.
It's The Emperor's New Clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, you got corrected by the kiddo, Carl.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well.
Emperor's New Groove. Sorry. Hey, listen, I'm not perfect. Thank you, Bree. This is definitely immoral punishment, to say the least.
Oh,
Poor guy.
I know. The backstory's all full of heartbreak and depression and, like, you know, okay, I can't remember his name right now, but I was the guy that sings So Lonesome I Can Cry. Hank Williams. There we go. It's all full of sadness and depression and Hank Williams songs and stuff, you know?
But not Hank Williams Jr., only Hank Williams.
Yeah.
God, I love Eartha Kitt. She was the best Catwoman ever.
Well, of course. But do you see what happened? She said, if he forgets to come back for her, that his entire family for the rest of his life, they're going to be cursed forever. Trying to climb out of his hole.
That's not the easiest thing to do if you're digging more than waist deep, trust me.
Oh, I know. Like, I'm weirdly flexible in the leg and hip area because I actually have a deformity in my hip cartilage. So I can step over things like much taller than most people my size, but it's even hard for me to get out of a hole like that. Oh, there's those losers he's talking about.
I like the losers.
Yeah, we were talking about this just now. Ree was mentioning how that's actually some pretty decent CGI they did there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, and considering, well, like really considering the time period that this movie came out, like.
This is like
they get away with mostly practical effects, which is a good thing. And, of course, they're still fucking with him.
Right. I would think, you know, just doing a supposition here, since we don't know, that there's some sort of... treasure buried that they're looking for. That would be my guess. I'm not saying I'm
well, there you go. I mean, they're pretty obvious about it. Like I said, this was a young adult movie that came out. So really, you know, at the time it came out, it was really for people like Rhiannon's age, people who were able
right.
to read the book and you know, watch the movie. And I think Disney actually did a really fantastic job with this one because, like I said, even as an adult, I didn't watch it as a kid. I never read the book, but as an adult, I watched the movie and I was like, damn, like, they did a pretty good job on this one.
For 2 weeks, okay. That's a good line.
Oh, yeah, this movie's full of good lines. Yeah, that's what they all say, right?
Right.
Now, that little boy with the curly hair, him right there. Zero.
Yeah.
Who is that? I swear I've seen him in other stuff.
Yeah.
The ordinate is an interesting fossil, so they're kind of spelling it out for you right now, because that is actually
right.
pretty fucking valuable.
Yeah.
Now, Mm-hmm. Look at that gorgeous little boat.
That's a cool little boat.
That's the other thing. Oh. There's my man, Dooley Hill. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gee, that's Tasha Yar, isn't it?
That's what?
Tasha Yar from Denise Crosby. Is that Denise Crosby?
No, that's Patricia Arquette.
Oh, that's Patricia. Oh, okay, that's Patricia Arquette.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not sure.
Before she goes rogue to, you know, kissing and killing Desert Faith lady. Yeah, this is the origin of how she became the deadly kissy kill lady. Oh, yeah. Trigger warning, there is a good bit of good old-fashioned racism in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me. I like him. I like him.
X-ray? Or Stanley?
No, the X-ray. I like X-ray.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. I don't know if anybody just saw Zero, but he pulled a fucking street move right there.
Yeah, he did.
He grabbed the ball off the table.
I like X-ray.
Or not X-ray, Zero right there, the little boy.
No, right there. Oh, I saw what he did.
Yeah, he grabbed the pool ball off the table. That's fucking street right there. Like, you got to wonder what this kid's story is. He's obviously got some shit going on. Because, like, he didn't even hesitate. He was just straight up, boom.
Well, you know, even in a place like this, you're going to find your tribe, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they're bringing the personalities of the kids, so you start to get to know them. And God, I love Tim Blake Nelson.
Yeah. See, it's like stupid shit they're in there for. Like one guy tried to steal a puppy because it was too expensive. No good, dirty, rotten pig stealing grandfather. That's who it is. This is where he gets a little creepy. Like,
I like him.
Makes me feel like one of those other moms that can afford to send their kids to summer camp.
By the way, I gotta say something about our dad here, who I just adore. I mean, ever since you know, you go back, you know, and check everything that he's done over the years. You know, just wonderful.
Now, I know you said this earlier, but I'm trying to remember what your answer was. Did you say you have or you have not seen the movie?
I have not
seen
the movie.
No, you haven't. Okay.
No, I have not
seen
the movie
nor
read the book. I like it. You know, I'll tell you what. I was just saying, I really like Henry Winkler. And what he's done over the years since this movie, he's now got that major role in Barry. And
oh,
he's just...
my God. And
just
he
so good.
Kills it. Oh, he kills
yeah.
it. All that. And thank you for reminding me. I'm probably going to end up watching... I forgot I haven't finished it yet. But you know they're like recording the next season already. Or maybe
yeah.
it's already been recorded. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm so excited about Barry.
No,
and
yes. you know, he's in Arrested Development. He was in Arrested Development. He just you know, and of course that all goes back to, you know, way, way, way back when we all got to know him first. And that,
yep.
of course, is in the movie Crazy Joe and the Lords of Flatbush. But the Fonz, come on. He's the Fonz. He's
yeah.
always going to be the Fonz.
I don't know. I mean, for me, the role that has really defined how I see them, how I see him, has
right.
been as Leslie... It's been his role in Barry, honestly.
Well, you know, I think part of that also is generational because, you know, I'm, you know, a good 20 years older than you.
Yeah, I didn't
that,
grow up watching Happy Days or any of that shit. It wasn't fucking
yeah,
relevant
I did.
To me. And
so it's always going to be the boss for me.
Yeah, and, you know, I've seen some episodes of Happy Days, but it's just not my thing. Just not a real big fan of it. But, I mean, am I going to say that it was bad or any of that? No, it's just not my wheelhouse. It's not the kind of stuff that I would have liked to watch when I was younger or now as I'm older. So, but I really love what Henry Winkler has done to break out of that typecasting as the Fonz.
Oh, absolutely.
He is taking these crazy, wonderfully fun roles. And
no,
I feel like
and don't forget
part
his,
of that was,
his role, his recurring role on Arrested Development too, which is really good.
That's true. Yeah, I never actually completely finished Arrested Development, but I loved every second of it I saw. Like that was a
yeah.
fantastically weird show, and I do not regret the time I spent watching that. You know.
Mm-hmm. You know, other roles of his, Night Shift is really good. So much fun. Seriously. And he actually took a bit of a break, too. He did a lot of stage in the 80s. He did a couple of TV things. But basically in the 80s, he was all stage.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like... he has always been, like, a consummate actor, but you can tell he's doing it now because he just fucking enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he has to. I mean, this guy's taken the fuck care of, all right? Let's not lie. He's Henry fucking Winkler. He never has to lift a finger in his life ever again, and he is still going to be sitting pretty for the rest of it, however long that may be. In fact, he's sitting so pretty that if they perfect the art of, like, immortality before he naturally passes away, he's still going to be good because he's Henry fucking Winkler.
Exactly.
So you
exactly.
can really tell with roles like Barry and things that he's not doing it because he has to. He's not doing it because he's, you know, behind on his taxes. He's doing it because he wants to. And those are the kinds of projects that I really love seeing people in.
Mm-hmm. I like the music, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And here we go.
The Garney.
I'm not even sorry. Yeah, kids over here, as soon as she walked on screen, my kid was like, she's gorgeous. I'm sorry. And then said, wait, you know what? Sorry, not sorry. She's hot. Oh, yeah.
Whoops.
Oh, damn.
Yes, he knows.
Oh, yeah. You don't talk back to the warden.
So it's nice to see Sigourney play a, you know, a nasty little role.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also loved her in The Cabin in the Woods, too, where she makes a cameo.
Mm-hmm.
And also on Paul. She's done a lot of more cameos where smaller supporting roles where she can really, like, play not being Ripley, right? Because
mm-hmm.
we're going to remember her as Ripley forever and ever, right?
Not in this movie. It doesn't even occur to me that she was fucking Ripley.
Well, let me put it this way. You're not sick.
Evil.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely evil. No question.
Oh, yeah, she's a baddie in this movie. I just have to say that. Like, she's fucking bad. There is no redeeming this woman. And I was hoping you'd catch that because, you know, it's not often she plays a role like that.
No. The only other role like that is really Cabin in the Woods. But she just comes in at the end.
She's fantastic at it. Mean as a snake in this movie. And it's actually good, I know I'm going to get, like, so much hate from my lady listeners here, but it's actually good to see her in a movie where they're playing on her just absolute stunning sexuality. And not the fact that she's an amazing badass, because she really is.
But in this one, she's
like, I don't want to say dainty, but she's very vain and
mm-hmm.
very used to her creature comforts.
Right.
And so when you see her actual cabin later, it's insane. I see where he's going there. I'm just good with my hands. And I do own a book, you know.
Okay,
like...
stop drawing. Stop drawing, Rachel. I'm just saying. Or get a bucket, one of the two.
I mean, have you seen that man dance? Come on now. And look, if you can't tell, he's already got buckets around him. So he comes with his own drool bucket. Fixing the schoolhouse. Oh, and Ree's calling for a drool bucket too, but I don't think it's for Dulé Hill.
That's fine.
And I do love her hair in this, by the way.
Yeah, her hair is great. Trust me, Ree, we all drool and need a drool bucket for our own people that we drool over. Trust me.
So, yeah, it's a sweet movie. This is like a genuinely sweet little love story.
You know that story?
Well, you know what? You and I seem to have the same sort of sense of sweet movies. It's not something that I really gravitate to. I like more satirical and downbeat things. But you and I do share this sense, and I like this too. I like it a lot. The one I introduced you to the way, way back, which is one of my favorite sweet movies.
Well, and we did, what was it that we did a few months back that was really sweet, and we both liked it. I just had it in my head. But we do. We both have the same taste in, like, sentimental movies.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a good pair. We're tooting our own horns, people out there listening. Okay, so, you know, tough. I think we're good.
Yeah, we're totally tooting our own horn, but you know why? It's because we're awesome like that. Oh yeah, I mean, heck, we just did the Neverending Story last week, and I mean that's one of my sentimental movies. And now it's going to drive me nuts until I can remember what the other movie was.
Yeah. Well, as I said, I mentioned Way, Way Back, which is a really good one too.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm actually going to have to go through and watch that one again. I like it so much already that I want to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, you can tell what a horrible place that this is. They're punishing the kids by doing things like taking away their shower.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some very serious issues that are going on in this movie, and I do want anybody to know that, you know, if you're freaking out right now because there is literally a whole shit ton of child abuse happening, it gets better. But yeah, at this point, I mean, we've got child labor and, you know, working hard, and now we're denying them access to, like, you know, enough fresh water, enough rest time.
Yeah, they're being abused, to say the least.
Horribly, because I'll tell you right now, one of the things that you have to do after digging every day, after even digging a little bit, you have to be able to shower, because if you put, you know, socks and shoes back on top of dirty feet that have been covered in sand and dirt, you're just going to destroy your feet. And if you can't stand, you can't dig a hole, and you can't work. So I don't understand why people abuse their prisoners like that. I'm like, you have to give them a modicum of decency and basic care if you're, like, planning on keeping them for a long time. Come on now.
Mm-hmm. And of course, now you're getting into racism, and things do not bode well with our psych person, unfortunately.
Sam. His name is Sam in the movie. But, yeah, Sam, right. and the teacher, things aren't looking good because she's, like, you know, the prettiest, sweetest, and the bestest, and she's in love with him, and he's in love with her, but the guy whose daddy owns the town and owns the lake is wanting a sweet piece of that lady meat. She's not having it. I like how this story does address a lot of these abuses and stuff that go on in these camps, and that they're not trying to dumb it down for kids.
No.
The best children's literature
doesn't dumb it down. I mean, let's not forget we did one of the more depressing ones the other day, the Chocolate War.
Yeah.
And that definitely doesn't dumb it down.
No, and I have found that kids respond better. I mean, even from a very young age, I'm talking infancy, I've always just talked to my kids like they were normal adult human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And they've grown up, you know, expecting people to talk to them like that because you don't have to dumb it down for kids. In fact, dumbing it down for kids is just making them dumber.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, I'm in the same position because I was a choir director, and I've done a couple of children's choirs. And the last thing I do is I always challenge them and say, you can do this. And I don't, you know, I make them do more difficult stuff because if they do it right or even close to right, it's a sense of accomplishment. And I had a children's choir that got within 3 months better than the adult choir, and that was one of the problems I had with that church because the person who did the music program for the adult choir didn't like me and didn't like what I was doing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Did you see what just happened here?
No, I was talking.
Yeah, Sam just died.
Yeah.
He got shot in the middle of the
lake. Right.
Yeah, like I said, massive racism. There's even a little bit of modern racism in it.
Right. That doesn't surprise me either. But it's addressing that, and it's showing that it's unfair. By the
way,
here's something. I can't remember the name of it, but would you believe on Paramount Plus, there is an animated film, forget what the title is, but it's basically what's going to be called Blazing Samurai. It's a kid's version of Blazing Saddles.
Oh, now watch this. She came
okay.
up to him and said, you still want that kiss? And then she shot him down.
Nice.
Yeah, it's important that you watch this part because this is the transition in the story.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
She only kisses the men she kills.
Cool. I'm all for
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. They killed her lover, and now she is on a fucking warpath.
Rampage. Yeah. Get it back to John Voight. I'm not saying his character is a nice character, but it's not. He's not evil, really. He's kind of like.
No.
Henchman. He's like henchman evil, right?
He is. That's the perfect word to describe him in this movie. He's a henchman. He's had too much of, you know, the warden's Kool-Aid.
Right.
And she's the one that can just sugarcoat a storm about this place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, he's been drinking her pretty lady Kool-Aid for far too long. And once you see him interacting with her, like earlier when she, you know, got on him, made him look like she emasculated the fuck out of him.
No.
He's definitely a cuck for the warden, like seriously.
Now, this little kid here. Know some shit.
Oh, yeah. Zero? There's something to be said for keeping your fucking mouth shut.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah. They fucked with the warden's sunflower seeds and... I don't know how it is up north, but I know how it is in the south, and you don't fuck with a man's sunflower seed. Especially because you remember, he just quit smoking, and he's been real testy.
Yep. Well, this does not look good.
Yeah, not at all.
Oh, But he does look like an Elvis impersonator. And
yeah, he really
I'm
does.
I'm sure they did that on purpose.
I know they did.
And that's, by
like
the
I'm
way,
saying,
that's
like,
not his real hair. I know at this point that's not his real hair.
Yeah. There we go. Kissing Kate Barlow. That was Patricia's name. This is where she gets a little... Okay. Dry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Jesus.
All I give you is respect and affection.
Jesus Christ.
And then,
she's evil, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you, like, she's scary.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you go back to the Alien film, right?
You
my
see
favorite
what they
of
did?
The Alien film is Alien 3, and she's scary in that movie. She is.
Yeah, but did you just see what they did for him while he was gone?
No.
Well, he took the rap for them stealing the sunflower seeds, and he never gave any of them up, so Zero dug his entire hole for him.
Nice.
It's important that you start to pay attention to the friendship between these two, because
well,
if you didn't catch
no
earlier...
Question. That's important.
Well, if you didn't see it earlier, Zero doesn't know how to read.
Right, okay. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And by the way, no, he's not wearing, like, a creepy leather cuff. He's actually wearing what is probably a fossil watch
right.
that has big, thick cuff bands like that. Yeah, it's a fossil.
Mm-hmm.
I used to sell those things. Well, they're fantastic watches. They're just expensive and kind of hipster for the most part.
You know, Tim Blake, I like you, but you're an asshole, too. You're being too nice. Sometimes you got to stand up to people like that.
Yeah. He said, you're thirsty, yell, Nat.
Yeah.
All of it is, kid. We've been talking about that. Oh, no, everything they've done in this movie is child abuse at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, everything they've done at the camp. And what did... Oh, see, he found a lipstick in his hole that had KB on there. Kate Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. See, there we go. He's figuring it out.
All right.
So you see where this is going. They killed her man,
oh, no,
and now
exactly
she's like, she's like, fuck all of y'all. Fuck you, and especially fuck you. Yes, dishonor on you, dishonor on your cow. And come on, Patricia Arquette as a vengeful badass lover.
Yeah.
Kids over here like, she's hot too. Yeah. I mean,
she is. No question.
Yeah.
None.
100% hotness ratio there. But they all, mm-hmm. they can also make her look so fucking doofy.
Mm-hmm. I've seen this kid too. I have seen him.
That's what I was asking you earlier.
Look.
Like,
okay, well now, okay. So give me a second. Give me a second. I'm good at this. Cleo Thomas. Okay.
What else has he been on?
That's exactly what I'm looking. Give me a second.
His name is Hector Zeroni. That's why they call him Zero. Because
mm-hmm.
apparently his name is too ethnic for them to pronounce, I'm sure.
Okay, guessed it on Sons
oh
of Anarchy.
Oh, my God.
Guessed it on... Go ahead.
Carl, we just realized something. Hector Zeroni. Your girl,
yes.
Eartha. Madame
yeah.
Zeroni.
Oh, gotcha.
What?
Gotcha.
Mind blown. The good call on that one, kiddo.
He was in the remake of Walking Tall. I did see that. Oh!
Walking Tall?
Oh, that's exactly where I saw him. Okay, right after this movie, he did a film called Badass, which is based on Melvin Van Peebles doing a movie that starred his son Mario. And he plays Mario.
Okay.
That's where I've seen this kid.
Well, I've seen him in other stuff. I have no idea what, but I know that I absolutely love him. I think he is fantastic. So, yeah, this story really does fully tie in together because I know what happens in the end. And, Carl, you're going to fucking love this. But like I said, you do have to pay attention to a lot of the backstory because that's where everything comes together.
Well, I'm sure I will watch this again. No, if you're, you
oh,
know,
I know you will.
You've said this, and I've said this too. If you're a virgin to a film that we're doing a commentary watch on, it makes it a lot harder. You know, particularly
yeah,
if you're like me, you want to look at the actor's background and so on and so forth. You know, you miss
yeah.
some of the things here. And so I need to go back and watch this and really pay attention.
Yes, you do. Because I don't think you're going to get it today, which you've gotten some of it, but it's probably not going to make as much sense, you know, in the great reveal because there's a few,
mm-hmm.
like, minor pieces you've missed, but it's still just so fantastic. So, yeah, let's see. Oh, God. Pitting the kids against each other.
Nice! Go get him, Zero.
Zero comes in with the rear naked choke. Go fucking Zero. Zero is my hero.
All right.
Yeah, so, I mean, we can see that this camp is basically just fucking Lord of the Flies with a modicum of supervisors. Like, I'm surprised these kids literally haven't started eating each other yet. Yeah, especially because it's a camp entirely full of, like, young and teenage boys. I mean, there's so much unchecked testosterone flying around through this camp that, like I said, I'm surprised they haven't started eating each other yet.
Yeah. And that's a bunch of bullshit, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not like Tim Blake Nelson nearly as much as I did at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
He's a toady.
He is
Tim Blake
a toady.
Nelson.
Good
toady.
One. You have been coming up with the henchman words today for sure.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, there's, like, none of the adults in this movie are really that redeeming. I mean, even Henry Winkler, like, he's dad, but he's, like, so focused on his crazy invention bullshit that he's got a kid in a fucking prison work camp right now.
Yeah.
And mom's just like, oh, my God, I could really use the break. This is like I sent you to summer camp or something. Isn't that great? Oh, I'm sorry, you're being abused. There's that. Oh, oops. And, yeah, there's something to be said for these stories that show children, because I really believe this is important, that show children that not all adults can really be trusted with your best interests.
Right, exactly. Agreed.
I mean, just because they're there to, like, supervise and take care of you doesn't mean that they're actually doing that in a decent capacity.
Now, this being a Disney movie and also based on YA, I hate to tell you this, but Kira's going to be fine.
Who's going to be fine? Oh,
Zero?
Yeah. Oh. Make your assumptions, but we'll see what degree of not fine they let him get to.
That's true. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying he's got shit to go through, because he definitely does.
Oh, yeah. Whole bunch of it. Yeah, the first time you see this movie, it is a little bit of a gut punch when Zero disappears. And the kids here are fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I did not notice that. Yeah. So Ree was just noticing.
Nice.
Isn't it weird how every time a kid goes missing in this camp, there's like another one that shows up immediately?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. It's like she's got a line into the judge to be like, hey, send me another fucking kid.
Yeah. And she does.
I think so, too. They haven't confirmed that yet, I don't think. But oh, shit.
Hey, you tried, young ass.
Yeah. I mean, he did certainly try.
So both the movies we've picked, this one, Holes, and The Chocolate War, are basically, you're going against the powers that be.
Mm-hmm. Fuck the man, fight the power.
Right. You gotta stop the man.
There's all those lizards.
And we're talking about them getting in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
I like the lizards.
Well, they're cool, but they're also super poisonous. Vultures.
Mm. I like how they juxtapose the current story with the backstory and how they do that.
Oh, I do too.
Not just flashbacks. Right there.
What did he find?
He found something.
He found the sunflower seeds bag that Zero took with him. Look at that. Well, thank God he not dead.
Figures.
Yeah, this is actually the precursor to a really great scene in this movie.
Cool. I'm going to have to disappear for a moment. I will be right back.
Okay, well, this is an important part, but you do your thing and I'll catch you back up.
This is what happens when you have a coffee and egg cream. You have to sort of like go to the bathroom.
Okay, so Zero invited him under the boat and was like, hey, you want some sploosh? And the guy's like, what? And he said, sploosh. And he grabbed this mason jar that's obviously covered in dirt and shit. And they're drinking it, and they're like, oh, yeah, that is pretty good. And he goes, it tastes like peaches. Do you remember the peach preserves earlier in the
yeah.
movie? They've turned into alcohol.
Nice. Ooh, Eagle Eye Cherry. Nice.
Mm-hmm. I'm still a consummate fan of Eagle Eye Cherry.
Frosty Freeze. Oh, damn. I couldn't do that shit. That's for sure.
Right. I mean, they're just like straight up free climbing this mountain. Fair point. Marie said they built up a whole bunch of some muscles and stuff digging those holes.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, fair point there, buddy. Don't you fall off this damn mountain, Stanley. Oh, shit. So now we have a seriously injured Zero.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught that line. Maybe my dad will stop drinking and my mom will come home. Yeah.
Come home.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's the little things that make this movie convincing, like him untangling the hair from the bush. And...
Mm-hmm.
This is important, by the way.
Okay, I'm looking.
Really a zero to zero.
We must carry Cerrone up the mountain.
And sing while I drink, is what she says, so that I can get strong too. But if you forget to come back for me, and that's where the curse starts.
Right. Nice. So this does all dovetail into each other. That's good plotting devices. That means they're following the novel pretty closely, I would think.
Yeah. No, I've seen a bunch of places online, and everybody says that it is literally almost word for word, an exact translation of the book on the screen. Mm-hmm. Onions. I will tell you, there is nothing like just a raw wild onion. It's got this like sweetness you can't even describe.
Yeah. The woodpecker song. Not again, not the Woodpecker song, I know.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this is a Disney movie, Carl. I don't think they'd be allowed to play the Woodpecker song, you know.
Yes, rotate it. No, they don't. Trust me. The onion.
I love how they just like seamlessly tie everything in together towards the end.
Yeah. That's the onion. I like it. What did
they say from what lady? Yep. No. I'm still jealous of their onions.
Well, my mother loved Bedelia onions and would eat them raw. Now, I cook onions all the time. I like onions, but I don't generally eat them raw. Unless it's on a burger. I will take a raw onion on a burger.
I am not a fan of raw onions of any sort at all whatsoever. Oh, this is important, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, look at those shoes. See, now it gets really interesting. What's going to happen here?
So he drops the shoes, and Stanley gets them.
Yeah. Although, I don't understand how he had time to lace them together before he chucked them over, but whatever.
Exactly.
That's destiny.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah, so this really all starts, like, seriously tying in together.
Don't think about it, Twitch.
And her. She was Monk's.
Are you kidding? I love her. That's just, yeah. She's in. That's Maya Rudolph. That's Minnie Riperton's daughter.
No. That was not
that's
Maya
Rudolph,
Rudolph, honey.
Isn't
that was
Maya
not
Rudolph?
Maya Rudolph. I promise you that's not Maya Rudolph.
Okay, hold on. It certainly looked like her.
No, it didn't.
Excuse me. I don't know who that is. You're right. I don't see Maya Rudolph. So I was wrong.
No, it's not Maya Rudolph. She's the one that played Sharona.
No, I'm saying
in
you're right. You're right. I've not seen her in the credits. So, yes,
I know.
You're right. I don't know who it is.
I know her very well. I just been month, like last year, she played Sharona. Plus, I love Maya Rudolph because, you know, she's in the rentals.
Mm-hmm.
The replacements. Whatever. I don't know. She's fucking awesome. I love Maya Rudolph, and that was not her. But I also love that lady because, again, she was Sharona in Monk. And I've seen her in some other things. I just can't remember what. And I don't remember her name. And I feel like an asshole for that. But.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a real sweet, you know, bonding at the end of things scene. I would die for that. Kids over here tempting me going, oh, imagine what it would look like. Saying like, oh, imagine being able to look at stars from out there where there's like zero light pollution and you'd be able to see every single star. And I'm like, oh, stop it. It's been a long time since I've been on the top of a mountain looking at the stars. Don't even fucking tempt me. I will run away from this circus and join a real family right now. Oh, and just so you know, this is, of course, a great movie because everybody gets theirs in the end. It's like, okay, whatever.
Whoa.
Yeah, a little intense there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're all over here. I know they're super deadly, but these lizards are fucking adorable.
Yes, that's true. They are.
What are they doing here, huh? I mean, seriously, this is a juvenile work camp with juvenile delinquents. Yeah, it's your fucking fault. You sideburned Neanderthal. Well, maybe we do know. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. They're still so cute. They're going to murder everybody, but they're adorable.
Mm-hmm.
Evil. Yep. And it all ties back in together.
Yep.
Didn't even give her gloves.
Again, it's about abuse, too, and how abuse goes from family to family.
He's still in his jammies. Oh, shit. Fred's here. Yeah, I love it how they're all still in their jammies. It's kind of funny. Yeah. Fall the hole, fucker. Is your last name, your first name, still backwards?
No.
Zero just learned how to read.
Yep.
That's important.
No, that is definitely not her.
Yeah. No. Oh, he's a thief, huh? Right. Oh, could she now? Mm-hmm. Yes, he can read. I mean, I guess we just need to name the warden Karen.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait. Hector doesn't have a file. Mhm. Yep. And of course, we're, you know, coming to the happy ending here.
Yeah.
Nice. She's so good at being an authoritative bitch. I mean, that's why she was perfect in Monk. Although his final assistant was really the best, but oh, now we're giving out real names. Uh-oh. It ain't. Fuck y'all. And look at that rain. The lake dried up as soon as the curse started, and now that they seem to have broken it because the Roni got carried up the mountain.
The sound green is really broken. Yep. Like halfway.
And there we fucking go. This is why people in the South love rain, because it doesn't come as frequently as it does in other places. And we'll spend a month and a half with not a single drop. And no matter how many times you shower and clean yourself, you just always feel that thin haze of dirty. Because it's hot and everything sticks to you.
Nice.
Everyone's not as friendly as us.
I like him. I like Zero. I like
that was extra.
Not, that's Zero. Yeah.
Oh, the biggest fuck you ever.
Nice. So all the adults are assholes. I called it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the yell gnats aren't as bad.
No.
What's the treasure? Wait, what? Oh. AT&T. So just cute. I'm sorry.
That's cool.
Aww.
You know, I can deal with this when it's earned. It's earned in this film.
Yeah. Well, he was able, with all the money, he was able to hire a team of private investigators to find his mom, and he just said, turns out she was looking for him, too. They got separated because of the system.
Right.
I love the fountain with a shovel. That's why the lizards didn't bite him. The onions. Yeah, they named that for the spruce.
Nice. Nice.
There you go. That was Holes.
Now, the interesting thing about that movie, you notice the director, right? Andrew Davis. And we have not talked about the director, so let's just talk about the director for a moment. Because I don't know what he's done lately, but he was an action director, okay? He did Code of Silence, Above the Law, The Package. These are all films in the 70s and early 80s. Under Siege, The Fugitive, he won an Academy Award for The Fugitive. Perfect Murder,
yeah.
Collateral Damage, Holes. And since Holes, he's been doing, he basically did The Guardian in 2006, and he's got, and that's the latest thing that he had directed. And he's just got a post-production documentary coming out called Mentors. And he's got a new movie that's announced called My French Muse. But this is a guy that's worked with Gene Hackman and of course, Harrison Ford, The Fugitive. Really good director. Known as an action director, but not... You know, you wouldn't expect this, but this is a damn fine film. Damn fine film. Now, just so everyone knows, we're about 3 minutes before we go into overtime. So I'm going to give it back to Rachel and her family. And why don't you say some final things about the movie, and we'll do a quick housekeeping here.
Well, I mean, honestly, you have to see it for yourself. And now that you've seen it, Carl, I'm glad you have the reaction that you do, because sometimes we all need one of those movies that you can put on in front of anybody.
Yeah,
there is not
true.
A single thing bad in that movie, except they had to have a disclaimer about, you know, tobacco usage being depicted. And, I mean, there's racism, but that gets dealt with. So it's one of those movies that, like, anybody can watch, and even as an adult, it's compelling enough to keep you interested. And it's not so far-fetched that it seems just completely unreal, like a lot of kids' movies do.
Mm-hmm.
And not that that's a bad thing, and you know it's good to watch those movies once in a while too. But this is one that, like I said, I saw this movie before my kids were born, and I loved it.
Well, we've got another one that's coming up. Hopefully next week. We don't have it scheduled yet, but we've got one more back to school movie called The Odd Life of Timothy Green, which is also a Disney film. And it's one of my favorites, and it's a sweet-natured film that earns what it earns. And I think you guys will like that, too. So would like to get Ree maybe to watch that with us.
Yeah.
If they want to, you know, they're more than welcome to.
Oh, heck yeah.
So we're almost at this point into overtime and house cleaning. So the one thing is, if you don't want to really listen to it, you know, you can get off now. We're only going to be a couple minutes talking about what's coming up here. So I'm going to do that now. Okay. And so at this point, coming up on Thursday, which is the 1st of September, we are going to be doing a deep watch into Roberta Findlay's film. Now, Roberta Findlay was married to Michael Findlay, and they're both very, very much involved in sexploitation films and such. And we're going to be talking about the Flesh Trilogy, and we're going to be talking about it with Patrick Crane. Patrick Crane is a film historian out of Oklahoma City. He's been on the podcast a lot of times. And also my former partner, Stephen Ronquillo, will be with us also for that. Then on Friday, Adam is going to be doing Catholic Grey Mission. And they're going to be talking about the films of Richard Linklater, who did the Before Trilogy and Waking Life and a number of films, and Scanner Darkly. We'll be talking about Richard Linklater. I will be on that show also as part of the guest. On Monday, we're doing the back-to-school commentary with Josh Buckland, and we're doing Lindsay Anderson's If, which was the first movie that starred Malcolm McDowell in 1968. It is a very, very serious and brutal takedown of the British education system. And it's one of Joshua's favorite films, and it's also part of my favorite trilogy of all time, which is the McTravis trilogy. And then during the week, I'm not sure which day we'll be doing also a commentary watch on The Odd Life of Timothy Green, as I said. So that's what we've got set up coming up in the next week. Anything else to add, Miss Rachel, that I'm missing?
No,
we're all good.
I think you pretty much covered it all.
All right. Well, listen, folks, I want to thank everybody for being with us. Rachel, you picked a good one. You picked a real good one. So I'm impressed, to say the least. Rhea and Jeremy, thanks for being with us. And
Jeremy is on his way to work already, but yes, Reed definitely enjoyed themselves this evening. They've
absolutely
run off to the sequester themselves in their room at this point. So
okay.
Thank you for having all of us, and thank you for watching it with me. And at this point, I'm just going to say good night.
I think I'm going to do the same thing. So everyone, thank you for being with us, and we'll see you later this week. And good night.
Good night.